Welcome to Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We have a big show for you tonight. The first half hour, we're talking about current events, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes in the news in regards to UFOs and alternative politics. And then at 9:30, we have an exciting psychic on, Mike Schultz from Las Vegas. We'll be calling in and free psychic reading. So big show tonight. So we're going to go to the TNT news board, and that is right on the main webpage. If you look right in the middle, click on TNT, and there's always excellent news stories, and we'll try to get through 7 or 8 of them if we can. The first one that jumped out at me was, who really owns the Fed? Who owns the Federal Reserve? Well, that sounds like it's a department in our government, but this article names the 8 private banks who own the Fed. So, you know, federal is just an adjective. For instance, Federal Express is not part of the government. Federal Express is a private company that delivers mail, so anyone can call their business federal, like the Federal Ice Cream Store. You can call your ice cream store that if you want it. It doesn't mean you're part of the government. So the Federal Reserve was created privately by a group of millionaires on a private island in Georgia exactly 100 years ago. 1912. I'm going to read off to you the names of the private banks who own the Fed, and that's the Rothschild Bank of London, Lazarus Bank of Paris, Israel Moses Bank of Italy, Warburg Bank of Hamburg and Amsterdam, Lehman Brothers New York, Chase Manhattan New York, Kuhn Loeb Bank of New York, and Goldman Sachs of New York. So what kind of jumps out at me and is somewhat disturbing to me is 4 of those banks are foreign. 4 of those banks are based outside the United States and other countries. So, you know, I believe that only Congress should be coining money, and that founding fathers wanted it that way. And certainly if we were going to switch over to a private bank and they were going to have closed books that nobody sees audit, that should be done by vote. We should have voted on it, and if we agree to that as people, then that's fine, but that's not what happened. So check out this article and find out who really owns the Federal Reserve. And probably the best speaker on that subject is D. Edward Griffin. And if you go to YouTube, then type in the creature from Jekyll Island. And that is the island in Georgia, that private island. And you can go there today. You can take a tour of that island. And it's a big mansion, and you can find out about the millionaires who conspired, it's a conspiracy, no other way to say it, to create this banking system. And they took us off the gold standard, by the way. We have paper money, and we're having a lot of problems with that issue right now. Now, the breaking news comes out of David Wilcox's corner, and you always got to watch him. He's an amazing, dynamic speaker. You know, the two Davids, David Icke and David Wilcox, are incredible researchers. So David Wilcox came forward this week, and it's on DivineCosmos.com. And he appeared in a Russian documentary that went out to mainstream Russia, all over Russia, and he's exposing the Federal Reserve. He's exposing a lot of financial shenanigans that have gone on with the Fed, and how money was stolen and taken from other countries. And what happened was the day this documentary aired in Russia, France and Germany demanded their gold out of the Federal Reserve. Now, that should have been the top story on the radio and the TV news, right? Well, we don't have that kind of media. It's gone. It's all been suppressed. To find out the real inside baseball, the things I'm telling you, you have to go to, you know, our website here, TNT News, and start really reading these articles, and then they'll link you up to people like David Wilcox and David Icke, and you'll get the inside baseball, the inside story. Follow the money. Always follow the money. And I'm not, you know, doing this in spirit of fear. It's important, as David Icke says, we can be really spiritual, and this is a very spiritual network. It really is. I just followed a beautiful, they're talking about angels for an hour, and that's wonderful. But we have to be streetwise as well. You still have to look both ways for crossing the street. You don't just wander out in traffic and say, well, the angels will take care of it. I mean, we live in this earth planet. We have to be streetwise, and that's all. candidate who can call Congress to get involved. That's what it says about. So that's the first article that jumped out at me. The second one is an article called Who Do You Think Qualifies as a Modern Day Hero? And if you scroll down the list on the TNT News, it has a lot of people, Alex Jones and Dennis Kucinich in Congress, and David Icke, we talked about him. And the one person I want to talk about today is Roseanne Barr, because I met her this past summer. I helped produce a big chemtrail conference. And it's 3 days, just speakers, just talking on chemtrails, a beautiful theater. And what a privilege, what an honor that was to find out all kinds of truth about the chemtrail program. And so Roseanne Barr ran for president last year on an alternative party, and it's so important to have more than two choices, Coke and Pepsi, and she was on an alternative political party, and she spoke about chemtrails and many freedom issues, and she talked about all the Federal Reserve being private, and she's very awake and aware and alive, and so I met her backstage, and it was interesting because, the minute she appeared, so many people wanted a piece of her. So many people wanted 2 minutes with her or 1 minute with her. And one of my jobs was to kind of protect her and just get her on the stage and off the stage and coordinate the timing. So I got a little bit of a sense of celebrities and how people are constantly wanting things from them and how they need to be a little bit protective and shielded with their time. And she was very gracious and very kind and very down to earth. And she was Roseanne, the practical, person. And then when she got up on stage, I watched her personality explode and become the Roseanne that we all know and be funny and be outrageous and be bold and turn on that energy. So that was really cool to be right there, right that stage, and watch that transformation occur. And then afterwards, she came back and was soft-spoken, and, I was with Laura Eisenhower, and I got Laura in there just for 2 minutes, just talked to her really, really quick before she gets warm. And Laura is a very rising star in her own right, a great granddaughter of President Eisenhower. And please look into her work as well. So I'm all about, connecting people and making connections and UFO disclosure and alternative truths in politics so we understand what's going on. The next article is The Dangers of Microwaving Your Food. And, I'm an intuitive person, and I never microwave my food. I always felt it was wrong. I felt it was wrong about it, and it did not feel good to me. It was a popcorn. I still passed away. So there's a good article there on how, it's all about radiation, and just food actually cooked as little as possible. If you can eat it raw, it's raw state, or just lightly, that's the best way. But this is a good article on, I know microwaves, it's a convenient tool, but it doesn't even taste right. The meat or potatoes, it doesn't even taste well cooked. I've always avoided it, and I hope that you read this article and make up your own mind. Now, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm just an article. And my food guru, by the way, is Suzanne Summers. I've always liked her, and great book. Very, very well educated. And I was reading one of her books this week, and it just talked about food problems and having a food smoothie in the morning, but don't combine it with other things, like wait 20 minutes and let your food digest through on its own, and then you can go on to carbohydrates and food. And that makes sense. That resonates with me. And I kind of turned to that page in that book by accident, in quotes, accident. So I'm going to go with that. I'm doing fruit smoothies in the morning, so I'm gonna run with that. And the other thing I picked up this week is enzymes, and eating them with food. So I'm taking that down. I want to pass that on. All right, and I feel better. I'm feeling like that really, really a lot cleaner and better. So the proof is in the pudding, and I feel better. So the real one has a head. So the other breaking news is I went to, there's a group of people in show business, and they meet once a month to know it. And they talk about UFOs and disclosure, and the topic was the leader of the Guild Field's disclosure is coming this year, like officially. And what he says is that Russia and China are now the big leaders in the world. And one of the reasons why is because we're $20 trillion in debt and we don't have a Congress or a president who will balance the budget. That's extremely irresponsible. I mean, we all balance our budget at the end of the month, but Congress and the government right now is not balancing its budget, and we're $20 trillion in debt. That's trillion with a T, not billion. So look into how much a trillion really is and how deep in the hole we are. And because of that, Russia is becoming a world power, it's becoming a leader, and China, they're taking the lead because we have these problems. And, you know, you have to demand Congress balance the budget. You have to call them and demand it, not just send it down the river and say, oh, well, we'll deal with it later, the next generation. You know, we don't want to do that. So what he said in the meeting is that other countries are going to go ahead and do disclosure. They don't care anymore what the U.S. thinks. They're not waiting to see what the U.S. will do. Politically, the game is changing. So that may force the United States into disclosure. He feels this year or next year. So a lot of countries, by the way, have released documents on the Guild website. Brazil, Holland, and other more progressive countries have released files. And what he said is, every country has a lot of video of airplanes flying in the country and UFOs right next to the airplane. And we all have these videos that they're just going to release. And that's the proof right there. That's the watch for themselves. So we'll see how this plays out and who the first country will be associated. Here's the next article, TNT News, by the way, you know, and this is right on the main webpage, halfway down on your left. Click on TNT News, and there's great articles every day. Alternative news is mainstream. It is really filtering so much information. I think every single story I've mentioned tonight is not a news at all. So there's a good article about the government, the DHS, is buying 2 million smallpox vaccinations. So you have to wonder if they, I'll read it to you. Federal government purchases 2 million doses of smallpox drugs in preparation for bioterrorism attacks. Well, I don't know about that. But clearly, you know, there's a lot going on behind it. We've talked a lot about the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, buying bullets, about $2 billion, and buying about 2,700 tanks, and really loading up. Find out and keep our eye on the ball on the story why the Department of Homeland Security is doing it. And so there's several articles about that I read through on the TNT News site. And there's, the one article that really jumped out at me. I'll read it to you. It says, my adventure in Georgia to see what is real and what is not. I went to a FEMA camp and I saw coffins and Georgia guide stones in one day. Okay, let me explain. The Georgia Guidestones are kind of, they were built in 1980, and they're kind of like a Stonehenge in a circle, and they're aligned to the solstices, and it's kind of a secret as to who actually built them. They're in ancient Sumerian language. It's all very cryptic, but there's 10 laws, and you can click on this article, you can see photographs, and the bottom line is, this article is pointing out that the Georgia Guidestones want a 90% reduction of people on the planet. They want to go from 7 billion down to 500 million. And everything I read about the New World Order kind of backs this up. They kind of want depopulation so that they can get a better handle of world control on the planet. So check out the Georgia Guidestones and read the laws or the tablets for yourself, and you can come up with your own interpretation. So this person, not only did they go to the Georgia Guidestones, they went to this FEMA camp, and that's a government camp, and they saw all of these coffins. I don't know how else to describe them. They're like plastic. There's thousands and thousands of coffins, and hopefully they're not for American bodies, but kind of disturbing to see this. And you know, if the New World Order, if the police state, if they make a real run for it, they would have these camps set up all over the country for Americans to experiment. And that, you know, that's speculation, but that Alex Jones has a lot of research into this field. You can just go to Alex Jones and find out his information on FEMA camp. So that was another big article that I read and caught my eye. Okay, the next one talks about Hollow Earth, the Book of Enoch, and the Secret of All Secrets. That's the title. So the Book of Enoch, you know, I make films on ancient aliens. So I'm well aware of the Book of Enoch. It's, I read it. You know, it's very interesting because it talks about a different group of giants who were on the planet who came down from the skies. It's the Anunnaki. I'm talking about the Anunnaki and how they interacted on this planet. Now, that book was part of the Bible up until 325 A.D., the Council of Nicaea, and it was taken out. And most references to giants, any giant about 12 feet tall, was taken out of the Bible, except for a little bit remains. If you read the Book of Numbers, there's some information in there. The Book of Genesis 6, there's a little passages. David and Goliath, just enough that give us some clues that talk about this other group that was on the planet. So that's, you know, I have four films on this topic. There's a lot of photographs and evidence. So if you click on Odyssey, find out more about me, you know, myself, and the four movies I love producing. I love talking about ancient aliens. That's my favorite topic. And please check them out if you want to order them. And I do tarot readings, and if you do an hour of tarot reading with me, you get a free movie. So you may want to look into that. And just find out more about me. Just click on my website, which is MysteryIslands.net. MysteryIslands.net. And so that article was pretty cool, and it also mentions Hollow Earth. Now, supposedly there was Admiral Byrd flew in an airplane, I believe in the 1940s, and he flew to the North Pole, and he went inside the Earth and met a hollow, that's what he reports. But, I mean, I don't have a lot of documentation on that. It's difficult. That kind of documentation, but there's many books and materials that talk about the Hollow Earth theory, and that there are, you know, layers and layers, and there's different cities underground, and if you're up for it, if you're up for an esoteric challenge and want to go there, want to go way out there, you can, you can just start by, you know, typing Hollow Earth into Google and finding some good books on that topic as well. So those were the big stories. The David Wilcock coming out with this documentary, and it was seen all over Russia. I mean, millions and millions of people. It was shown on mainstream television in Russia. And you can watch it with subtitles. Go to David Wilcock's site, divinecosmos.com, and he posted it. That's really cool. He posted the documentary. So he's really getting into the history of the Federal Reserve and how there's a lot of lawsuits against the Fed, how money was stolen, and how money is owed, and how the whole system may need to be rebooted and changed. So David's on this documentary and in Russia, and like I said, it's pretty interesting. The day that the documentary was shown in Russia, France and Germany demanded their gold taken out of the Federal Reserve. So we'll see what happens. And then, of course, you know, we have this problem in Greece and Cyprus with freezing accounts, and we got to watch this really closely. And TNT News has an article with Alex Jones talking about the situation in Greece. So he's, you know, a great researcher. He always has a lot of factual evidence, and he always has good sources. So Alex Jones, if you click on that article, he can tell you a little bit more about the Cyprus, the problems in Greece, and hopefully that will not spread like dominoes all throughout Europe and all through the West. Hopefully, this will not be the next crisis. So, those are the main articles I saw this week that kind of jumped out. And there's also Project Camelot. I just wanted to mention a little bit about Terry Cassidy. If you really want to get into the inside baseball of UFOs, go to Project Camelot. And he has a lot of good whistleblowers, people that used to work for the government, who sometimes they're anonymous, and sometimes they say their name. Sometimes they're retired. Sometimes maybe they're later in life, you know, so at the end of their life, and they want to talk. Or maybe the conscience is just forcing them to tell what they know about UFOs. So if you go to Project Camelot and check out Terry Cassidy's work, and I met her, you know, she was at the Chemtrail Conference. We all, this is synergy, you know, we all connect. And she's a really good resource as well. So we're going to have this mic come on in a few minutes, do some live readings on the air. That would be great. And in the meantime, we want to, I keep talking about the movie Thrive. Thrive, now 30 million people have seen the movie Thrive, and 1 million people per month are watching Thrive. That's a lot of people. So it's free. They have released the copyright. That's really cool. Foster Gamble from, you know, the Gamble family released the copyright, so it's free. You can go on YouTube. I'm going to ask you to post on their Facebook site. You know, let's use the power of Facebook and watch the movie Thrive, and if you resonate with it, if you agree with it, you know, then post it on Facebook, and let's keep it rolling. And that really goes into free energy and UFO disclosure and the New World Order and how we don't need to be fearful of them. We can be aware of what they're doing and send them love and counteract, you know, intelligence. So, and then the new movie coming out is Sirius. So Sirius is a new UFO film that's going to be released in April, and that's Stephen Greer and a lot of government disclosure. So watch, and it's spelled S-I-R-I-U-S. So we're going to go to a little break in just a minute, and then we're going to come back with Psychic Mike from Las Vegas and do some live readings on the air.
I sit in silence, watch the world spin around. Watch it fall to the ground. She's growing cold under me. I hear the silence, feel it run down my spine. When everything's just fine, I can't touch, but I can see. Stop and listen to what I've got to say. From March through to May, white snow in the trees. Let me listen to the cries in the night. Through the mist, there's a light. Bring it back to me. Am I done with who you are? How long and how far? Thank you.
Okay, we're back on Odyssey, and we are going to talk with Mike Schopp, who is an exciting psychic from Las Vegas. I met him at Conscious Life. Very good energy. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike, for having me.
Sure. Well, we're going to take live calls, but first, maybe just sketch out maybe a 1 or 2 minute little bio about you and how you work with clients.
Okay. Well, I've been doing this work for about 20 years, and I'm clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient. And what this means is that I'll see pictures. Sometimes I'll get names. I get period of times. And I have a personal goal that when I do readings for other people is I try to get 80% of the information that we can interpret, because it's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together. There's going to be other 20% of the information that either the caller is not going to be aware of, or it could be something that's happening in the future, or it could be something that I'm wrong at. So I always like to focus back on the 80% that we're getting right. And so I do a lot of work with, it could be business, it could be personal, relationship. I have a lot of interest in helping people work with connecting with their higher self, because there's a lot of anxiety that people deal with when they come into a psychic shop, and so they're looking for predictive readings. But ultimately, a lot of the work that really is beneficial is not so much the circumstance as your reaction to it, and that's where I like to kind of focus generally.
Okay, so how does one find a good, accurate psychic and discern them from the phonies or the...
That's a good thing. Well, you know, the in general, you know, the idea of psychic, you know, I guess you could say it has like a negative connotation, just because what you see in the media, or for example, these online rates that seem to be a little bit crazy. But I guess, you know, the same way, Mike, that you would go out and if you had to get a roof repaired or you had to get plumbing done, probably your first course of reaction would be to contact friends and family and ask, you know, do you have a plumber that you've used before, or do you have a roofer you've used before? So referral actually is a great way to get a psychic, because what happens is that your friend or family member has actually test-drived that psychic. The second way to do it is probably to, for example, go to a psychic shop and ask the person behind the counter, you know, who seems to be more popular. And then the third and most common way of getting a psychic reading and finding a good one is the way that we do everything in a daily life, trial and error. And in that scenario, I usually recommend people to, let's say, for example, go to a shop or find somebody online and do the test drive reading. Like, for example, on my website, I've got a 15-minute reading. And usually, you know, if the rates are reasonable, you can go and schedule a 15-minute reading. And if you find that that person was helpful to you, you can always extend or reschedule a later time. And so that's probably Mike, the most common way.
Mm-hmm. Great. Mike, we have a call on line one. Let's talk to Jay and get our first reading.
Okay.
Hi. Hey, welcome. How are you?
Thank you. Go ahead, Jay.
Hi, yeah, Jay.
I'm calling from Los Angeles, California. How are you? No, not before.
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. I'm excited to hear your reading. I heard what you're doing, what you're saying, and you're definitely right that psychics did get a negative connotation from the media, but there are good psychics out there, and I heard you are one of them.
Well, we do our best. You know, my goal is to be of help to people, and, you know, most of the clients that come back to me, they keep coming back to me, and I get a lot of compliments. But there's, like I said, there's always sometimes when people are a little more closed off, it makes them a little bit more difficult to read. But, yeah, in general, I enjoy what I do, and I do it based on helping people.
Jay, do you have a specific question, or do you want a general reading?
A general read would be fine, but if specifically if I was to pick one thing, it would have to do with career.
Okay.
What do you see, Mike?
Okay. Let's take a look, Jay. You know, the very first thing, Jay, that I look at is I feel a lot of ambiguity around you, meaning that it seems to me that you have a lot of different options and a lot of different ideas on particular career, but I don't see anything right now where you have a very clear definition in what you want to do. Does that make sense?
It does. You're right. I'm definitely scattered in the sense that things have opened up, other things have closed. But the general path that I was on for the longest time, and I guess is still the big option, is the practice of law.
The last part was what again?
But I've been the practice of law, but I've been questioning whether that's actually going to make me happy or not, and if I'm even going to be successful at this rate because of the unemployment rate amongst lawyers.
Right,
throughout the U.S. Well, right now.
Well, let me just quickly say that you know, you've heard a law of attraction, and you know, some people say it's hocus pocus, but I'd like to address that, because a law of attraction is just basically what is my intention for the moment, for the day, for the year, or whatever. And so, for example, if you have a very clear intention, all right, what happens is you create a certain amount of energy, and then that connects back to you. But also on a psychological level, when you have a very clear intention, let's say to be a lawyer or to be a mechanic or to be, you know, a nurse, and you know that this really resonates with who you are, what you're good at, and what your talents and skills are for, and also in your passions, what happens is that you end up choosing and selecting interviews, conversations, random meetings with people that actually lead you to making that goal. When your energy is kind of scattered, it's time to take a look inside, and you can actually find, just on a basic psychological level, you can take a look at like a Myers-Briggs, which is a career assessment. And what it does is you just answer like 80 questions, and it gives you a personality profile, and you can plug that in. Because, you know, when I look at your energy and where you're at in your career right now, you do have aspirations of being successful, okay? And as you take a look at law, you do know that the financial reward is there. But I actually feel that the field of law for you right now, it seems to be kind of narrow, and I can get the feeling that it almost feels restrictive in some ways. Does this mean that you have not yet started or completed the law degree?
Well, I've completed it. I just haven't taken the bar. So you're 100% correct with the narrow part, and that's because the state bar has actually decreased, made the test more difficult to monitor the amount of lawyers being admitted because there's already too many.
Okay. And then I'll just throw this piece, bit of information, is that 5 years after graduation, 50% of the people are doing something completely unrelated to their studies. And what happens is when you're 17 years old, or even when you're getting a master's and you're in your 20s or whatever, you know, you make the best decision at that particular time, but you don't have the work experience. You really don't understand exactly what the day-to-day is in the work and stuff like that. So a lot of people change. So you should feel free to dig deeper into, you know, what is it that makes you happy. And one of the great ways to do this is take a look at when you're not working. Look on your weekends and your evenings and say, what are you doing that nobody's paying you to do? You know, I'm going out to a pub, or I'm playing tennis, or I'm reading about science fiction novels. And write down these activities and these things that you're doing. And what you're starting to do is you're starting to realize that these are specific things inside of you that I'm doing just on my own. And then you start to extrapolate that into a particular career. What is your next question, Jay?
That was it. You hit it on the spot. I mean, in general, what do you see as far as being happy as in the next decade coming forward? Do you see more difficult times or anything along those lines?
Okay, as a lawyer, correct?
Yes, or as if I choose a different path to continue as an entrepreneur in a few different central projects I have, that aspect, but not law related.
Well, I can tell you this, Jay. One of the things that I see about you and stuff like that, you've got a high level of creativity, and that's why part of the narrowness of the law degree doesn't particularly, you know, gel. You know, you're going to be, I can see this, you're a person that would actually enjoy writing, you know, like two different horses at the same time or something. It's like you've got this creative energy. And you also work in kind of like these impulsive waves of energy, and then you take a break, and then you go back and do it again. And the thing is though, with this creativity that you've got, you know, law doesn't particularly gel with that. It's kind of a backup at this stage, because you already know, because I know you know, as you look in your mirror, because I can see you looking in your mirror in the morning, saying like, you know what, I don't want to do this law stuff. What I'd like to do is go out and create something. I would like to have some variety, and I see that you must be like things like volleyball or sports or something like that, right?
Yeah, skydiving is my favorite, but I do like, you know, diverse amount of sports. That's definitely true. And you're right when you said that I do multiple things, because that's exactly that you hit the nail on the head right there. The head of the nail.
Right, and see, so when you look at these kind of things, because the reason is that you have a personality that doesn't like things that are just, you know, very well planned and very tight and, you know, very restrictive and whatever. You're looking for things that you have an opportunity to, you know, experience. Variety is an important thing in your week and your, you know, monthly experience and stuff like that. And, you know, you could be doing, like, for example, I could see you passionately doing things like, it could be freelance writing. It could be going out and, like, for example, traveling and being a travel writer. I could see you doing a lot of adventuresome type of things and even outdoor activities and stuff like that. But your problem, your bigger problem is, as you look at that, you know, it's all about your finances. And so a lot of people, what happens is we make choices to get into careers that seem to be interesting, or mom and dad or friends and family think it's either interesting or it's well-respected, there's a lot of bread in it. But the fact of the matter is it's way off course with our passions. And so I would recommend you, there's another book called What Color is Your Parachute? That's a good book for career analysis. And again, the Myers-Briggs, you can just type that in a Google, Myers-Briggs, and then put down free test, and you'll do it, and it'll give you a personality profile. And then from there, you can just start to toy around with it. Now, the other problem is because you've already invested with the degree and you're very, very close, that's something else that you'll need to weigh out, because you're so damn close to it. And I do feel that were you living in California before, or where?
Yes, California, Los Angeles.
Where are you now?
Los Angeles.
Oh, still in LA. Okay. All right, because I'm just seeing kind of Los Angeles or suburbs or something like that.
Well, it is. I mean, technically, I'm in the county, but I'm not in the city. I was in the city when I was attending law school.
Yeah, that's fine. If I look into you completing the bar, I think this is part of the.
Do you see it happening this year?
Well, this is the part where it seems like you have a little bit of. It seems like emotional struggle to prepare. Are you a person that's putting this off, or just doing a little bit of it when it should be more?
Exactly, because like you said, I like variety, so I keep picking up these other projects which actually pull me aside from it, and that's part of it. And part of, you're right when you said earlier that I on top of the variety, I like to have. I don't want a routine. I don't want to look at the next 3 months and say, this is what I'm going to be doing Monday through Friday, this time to this time, every single day. And that's the catch coming up.
Well, see, and the other thing is that, Jay, when you look at your energy of how you get energized and how you get excited for things, you get excited by all these little freelance, part-time, you know, inspirational projects and stuff. And that carries your energy. It carries your passion. And you actually perform much better under those circumstances, opposed to, you know, sitting in a cubicle wearing a suit and tie and, you know, reading documents for, you know, legal stuff, because that's very much what lawyers is. I was an engineer by degree, and every day I'd look at the clock. I had a 10-foot tall cubicle. It was all gray, and every time I looked at the clock, it was always only 10:30 in the morning. And so it was like a killer. And eventually, you know, things changed for me over the years and stuff like that. Of course, that was a number of years ago. So I feel that the biggest issue for you is actually chipping away at the bar, because I feel that you really have not even put so much as in it. You know, you've really, really not put much interest in it, actually.
Thank you, Jay, for calling in. Thank you very much. Anthony has a question. Go ahead, Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. Hi. How are you? I'm very good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been having a good day. Having a good week.
We love it. Excellent. What can I do for you?
Specific question, or do you
want to go general, Anthony?
General.
General. Okay. Well, the first thing, Anthony, that I see coming up, I feel like you almost have like three events to go to, or three social events, or three like family events or something like that. Do you have a lot of things coming up with groups or something like that?
Family events.
Say again.
I have a cousin's baby's birthday, I think, next month.
Okay, because I'm just what I'm looking at right now. It just seems like, you know, either family or very close friends,
and very close,
kind of like parties or social events, something like that.
Oh, I have a date tomorrow.
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah, pretty good.
That's good. Let's see. And then I see. Are you at the point of considering purchasing a new car or something?
No, not close.
No, okay, because I was seeing.
I can't drive right now.
Okay, all right, because I'm just seeing an automobile there. Let's see. And then another thing, what I see with you is that you must be kind of an outdoors person. Is that correct?
Yeah,
I really love kind of like hiking. In Redwoods and stuff. Kind of just taking it in. I think you have like a kind of a calm disposition in general. And you've got a lot of curiosity kind of about the mysteries of life and that kind of stuff. I see that you're relatively, you have some interesting readings that you're doing, you know, reading books and stuff like that. And I do get the sense also that you're planning a day trip or something like that. Is it outside the city?
Outside the city, yes. Well,
yeah,
inside the city, I guess.
Say again?
Yeah. I have a date tomorrow, and then I'm planning on going to San Francisco by the end of this month.
Right, okay, because I'm just seeing a trip coming up and stuff like that. You know, I just say in general, you have, in the last, let's say, you know, 3 or 4 months, it seems like things have gotten a little bit brighter, things have been a little bit happier, and you have a lot more optimistic outlook. Not to say there was anything really negative, but it just seems to be kind of, things are starting to line up. To know, just kind of enjoyment and stuff like that over these next, you know, 3 or 6 months. And I see a lot of chemistry also, and I guess that has to do with dating. So it seems like you're kind of on the right track with whatever partners you're going out for, you know, dating and new friends and stuff like that. It seems like you're kind of in a nice, I see nice social circles here in the next number of months.
Oh, great. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, that's always good. Why don't you give me a specific question?
Okay. Well, this probably might be perfect for this program. I think I saw a UFO about 2 days ago.
Okay.
And I was wondering if it was or not.
Let's take a look. You know, I I'm not seeing anything very clear to say that it was. This is somewhere, I just see you being outside, kind of neighborhood-ish, or kind of, and then I'm seeing kind of like you near a park or something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I don't think that it was. That's what I'm seeing right now. And I am also not a UFO specialist or something. Do I believe in aliens? Absolutely. Never ends, the universe never ends and stuff like that. But I'm not seeing that as a very clear, I would say less so. It seems to me more like something related to, you know, lights from something else. I don't know. Did it look like little small lights, or what did it look like?
Well, it looked red, like it was like a flickering candle, sort of, a red light. And
okay.
Then it just kind of stopped in the sky, and that's what caught my attention, because it stopped. And
right.
I was riding my bike, and so I pulled over to the side, and I saw it, and I was like, well, why has it stopped? And I thought it was a helicopter at first, but I didn't hear anything. And then I saw a little white light come out from that red light, and then it just kind of floated there for a bit, and then it faded away and disappeared. And I kept looking at the red light, and then that disappeared. And so I called my friend up. And like I kept riding down the block, and then once I got to the park, which is a couple blocks away, I looked mm-hmm. in the same area in the sky where it was, and it reappeared. And then I'm not sure if I saw that or not, but I imagine, I don't even know what to explain, really. But I thought I saw, like, really dim lights, white lights around it, like, mm-hmm. Orbiting it. And then mm-hmm. and then the whole thing just kind of moved and faded away.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I know they have these. I don't know. My interpretation, what I'm seeing here, it seems to be more something man-made. I don't know if it's a. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but that's just my my thing. But again, it's that particular kind of reading is not exactly my specialty too. So I don't want to, you know, dim your hopes. Who knows? Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Anthony. We have someone else on the line. I want you to give out your information, Mike. How can people reach you?
You can look at my website. It's just psychicmike.com.
Okay, let's bring on Wendy. Let's get a reading for Wendy.
Okay.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Wendy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm alive and well.
Oh, your show's very good, by the way, Mike.
Yeah, the other Mike. I'm just a guest.
Yeah, Mike Schultz. Yeah. But I guess it's kind of general. I'd ask you maybe career, but you know, I mean, I'm a type of person that I have to be kind of happy and having fun at what I'm doing, and mm-hmm. I guess I could say I'm a little bit frustrated, just a little bit.
Okay. So what?
I don't know if that'll help you or not, though.
Yeah. So you want me to just look in general and career? Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fine, sir. Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Yeah, well, I do see that. I feel that in the last, let's say, month or so, it seemed to be more, a little bit more stressful, or a little bit more. Are you like either in a supervision position or in a place that you have to kind of encourage people to get things done?
you could definitely say that.
Yeah, because I see a little bit of. You know, kind of hemming, you know, trying to get these guys doing stuff like that. And it's part, because I just see this little bit of frustration with that. And, you know, when I look, Wendy, at your energy and stuff like that, you know, you have to, if this is, you know, where it is, I do see part of this, part of the, I want to say not exactly the issue, but I guess I'll say issue, is that I feel that you're, you know, you're quite a sensitive person, you're intuitive yourself, and I feel that a lot of the issues that are surrounding or like conflicting with kind of carefree happiness has to do with these people interactions of getting things done or something like that. Because I also feel like, for example, I don't know if you'd been recently promoted from something else where it was more independent work or something like that. Because I just feel like a conflict with either this particular group of people or perhaps the idea of it's kind of boring to cajole these people into doing something. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. In fact, I'm a radio talk show host myself, believe it or not. And I was actually, I have my producer, and she's kind of driving me crazy. I love her, but she's driving me crazy a little bit.
Right. Because I feel that most of the dissatisfaction has to be people. And, you know, I can repair cars, but when it comes to people, those are the ones I need the manual for. So when I look at their future and stuff like that, I do see that you kind of, you know, do your best to like distance. And one of the distancing techniques that I can see that might be helpful is that when you get in these situations where you're getting tension from coworkers or whatever, is to picture in, you know, as you're sitting in this room, picture that the two of you guys are in the room across from you and that you can see what's going on, the dynamics between the two. Because I think that could give you a little bit more objective stuff. Because unfortunately, everybody brings their dirty laundry from, you know, rotten marriages and screaming kids and, you know, loneliness in their own personal life and whatever. And you know, when I'm saying that, I kind of pick up that energy from the other side, the other party you're talking about. And so, you know, we can't be therapists. That's not our job for work.
Oh, but I know that. Trust me.
Yeah, but what I do see is you're getting a little bit more kind of like a healthy emotional detachment, you know, just as you're kind of thinking about it and becoming aware and you're kind of having boundaries around you and you're like, I'm owning, you know, my responsibilities in this, but I'm not going to, you know, kind of connect with the chaos there. Now, I do see, yeah. is your contract coming up like in the next 8 months or something?
No, but I'm getting, I'm filming Awake and Aware, which I think Mike is going to be at ProjectCamelot.org. I'm filming Awake and Aware, and I have to go up to San Francisco to film for Ken Kaufman for the New Living Expo. And mm-hmm. I was actually the kid who was a little loud across from you at Conscious Life selling the DVDs.
Yeah, I do remember you. I remember you
apologizing. Okay, I didn't mean to bother you. It was like, oh, God, no, it was throwing me crazy all weekend.
I told you. I love the loud one. I love the loud ones because I'm loud, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's good. So you made some money there at Conscious Life, did you?
So, Mike, I'm just curious, Mike, do you look into people's past or do you generally deal with the present?
Well, you know, it really depends on what people are looking for. For example, you know, if we went into, let's say somebody had issues with a current spouse or partner or whatever, you know, generally we look at those two. But then what we do is, you know, everything piggybacks, you know, all the way back to even childhood sometimes. So, you know, I can't actually go back. It really depends on how the guides actually ask me to take a look and what images and, you know, thoughts, feelings, word, names and whatever comes up. Because, you know, my goal, again, is really to focus on their connection to their own higher self. And as Wendy had mentioned, you know, she has, you know, some issues with these people at work or whatever. You know, what the real goal here is that I can't change the other people, but I can change my reaction to it. And therefore, what I do is I try to connect people with their higher self and share messages from the higher self, which I tried to share with Wendy by saying that, you know, there's detachment and how you do detachment techniques and, you know, ownership of what I'm responsible and letting go of the rest. And then, you know, just that kind of stuff. So I do actually go back to the past, but, it really depends on what information, what thoughts, images, feelings I'm getting from the guides.
So any other specific topics jumped out at you, Wendy, or what do you think?
Two weeks from now we have, you know, Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, awakeandaware.com, .org, excuse me. But the Easter weekend, my partner Dennis, he's filming the Porthole Conference at the New Living Light Temple in Orange County. And then I just got done filming this yesterday night. I filmed Jordan Maxwell at David Foreman's event at the Radisson Hotel at LAX. So, you know, it's definitely, it's been wild. But, you know, if there's New Living Expo for the mid-end of April and then 2 weeks from now, it's Carrie Cassidy's ProjectCamelot.org. But the porthole is this weekend at the New Living Light Temple in Orange County. It's called the Porthole Conference, and they've got a bunch of people. Are you going to that one, Mike?
Oh, no. Go ahead. We got two mics on the phone here.
Well, both of you, because I know both of you could. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
Asking, yeah.
Yeah, we try to go to as many as possible. But I want to thank you for calling in, Wendy.
Absolutely. And I thank you, Mike. I should have you on my show sometime, too. Give me some hell. God only knows I need it.
Right.
But I thank you both, gentlemen, and I thank you for your time.
Okay, Wendy. Thanks for calling.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So, if anybody wants a reading, we are going to go a little past 10. We've been given the green light to go ahead. So, please call in for a reading. Mike, I really love the way you work really in-depth with clients. So, once again, can people do a phone reading with you or Skype, or how would it work?
Yeah, just like we're doing today. You know, most of the clients that I'm working with, it's either, you know, I've got people from Holland, I've got people from China, I've got people from, you know, L.A. now, I've got people from Arizona. And so, you know, basically when you're working as a psychic and stuff, and again, usually when I'm working one-on-one and I don't have the pressure of radio, it's a lot easier too. You know, it's a great chance for us to really look at stuff. And one of the things that people may or may not be aware of when you're looking at psychic, because we've all had an intuitive experience, but the thing is that time and space collapse. Time and space collapse. So, for example, that's the reason that I can, you know, see images that are distant in L.A. when I'm in Vegas or in Holland or so, or, and also how I can go back in time or forward or in the present moment, because time and space actually collapse. And, you know, it's something that Einstein even, you know, talked about. And we're all connected intuitively to each other. So most of the, you know, the majority of the readings that I'm actually doing are, you know, by telephone or by Skype.
Yeah, then they can see you. And I want to ask our first caller, John, if he wants to call back for a little more. I kind of rushed him through. So if John wants to call back, we have some extra time. Thank you, BBS Radio. So let's get into everybody wants to be more intuitive. Why don't you kind of walk us through some techniques here?
Okay, all right. Well, the thing is that intuition is the most natural way of making a decision. And most people, you know, especially as a child, you know, work solely on intuition. Animals work on intuition. And unfortunately, in the last 100 and so years since the Industrial Revolution, working in corporate worlds and everything, and being busy and, you know, punching in and out of work, we're restricted by time. And therefore, we become a little bit more analytical. But intuition is the most natural way of making decision. And, you know, Mike, I'm sure you've had experiences where, you know, the telephone rings and you knew who it was. Or, for example, you know, you just got a connection, and a thought, phrase, image, or whatever, like, oh my gosh, I should contact this person. And you did, and there was trouble on the other end. So, again, time and space is collapsing. And most people can go back in their life and they knew at a certain point that they should or should not do something because that's what their gut was telling them. They didn't follow it. And what was the result? See, what happens with intuition allows us an immediate sense of knowing without sufficient time for the five senses to get around a person, place, or thing. We've all had good and bad vibes with someone we've met immediately. We've also had good and bad vibes, yeah, with a place, you know, like, ooh, bad vibes, or I didn't feel good, I just wanted to leave, you know. And what's happening is your intuition is actually projecting into the future what can happen in, you know, continuing with a specific person or, you know, staying in a certain event. And I'm not talking about hair-raising experiences. A lot of people, when they're first learning and practicing with their intuition, the very first thing they do is they're just predicting gloom and doom all the time. But actually what they're doing is they're projecting their fears. And so it takes a while before you start to kind of adjust to being open to your intuition. And the best way to know if it's really intuition, and I'm not being crazy or analytical, is you'll be walking down the street and this bit of information flashes out of nowhere and you think, why am I thinking about this? And you realize, like, for example, I should call home, you know, and you do, you call home and something good or bad's going on.
Right.
So that's basically the very first thing.
How do you discern between just a random thought and some, you know, divine guidance? Because we have thousands of random thoughts in our brain every day.
Oh, we do. We do. I've got, you know, my own little mind is both creative and analytical. And sometimes when I have a problem in my mind, the mind runs like a gas engine by itself and it doesn't stop until the gas runs out and I'm pooped. When you look at intuition, it's a lot of people, like, for example, even for me as a reader, as a psychic, if I have specific questions about my own work, my own life, lovers or friends or traveling or whatever, I actually consult with somebody else, with another psychic. Now, why do you think I would do that?
Confirmation?
No. Because what happens is that person does not have a desired emotional outcome. So, for example, you're sitting in the club and you see somebody hot and you say, oh, what does that person think about me? And you say, oh, my God, they think I'm smoking hot. That's your emotional wants and needs, right? and you're actually projecting those. But that is not an accurate, that may not necessarily be an accurate reading of what that person is. So what happens is when I'm reading the clients here tonight, I'm, like Wendy and Jay and so on, I don't have a specific desired emotional outcome that they do to each one of their lives. So I'm able to be more objective in reading. And so likewise, I go out and do readings. If I need information, I go to a different psychic to get my my information because it's more accurate. So to answer your question is there's a very fine line between intuition, emotional wants and needs, and then, basically anxiety, those three things. And they can be very, very close together. And so the real question of how to identify when intuition is accurate is when it's inspirational. It comes out of nowhere. I was walking down the street and I was not even thinking about meeting somebody, like for a friend or a lover. And all of a sudden you just get this wild sense like, my God, I'm going to meet somebody today. Because you weren't thinking about it. It's that inspiration. It's that, you get rid of the emotional wants and needs, and you get rid of the anxiety, and we go back to just carrying intuition.
So go ahead and just go on with your life and don't dwell on trying to solve a problem sometimes. Just go on with the tasks of the day.
Yeah, Eckhart Tolle is a great guy, writes the books on the power of now and stuff, and it's something that we're all working on.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, do you use any tools like a pendulum or a tarot, or what do you think about the tools?
Well, for me, I'm not. First of all, if someone asked me to do a tarot reading, I'd have to really fake it because I don't know how to read them. When I was doing my own tarot reading on this condo I'm trying to buy, and I flipped these cards over, and I thought, oh, my God, it's awful. And I called my friend in Holland. She goes, you can't read the cards. It's actually an excellent reading for you and good outcome. So I'm not able to use props. But the thing is that I believe for people that are starting to develop intuition, I think that tarot cards can be really a great tool. I think that things like pendulums can be a great tool. Anything that's like a focus item can be a great tool, because even you can share that as you're laying down your tarot cards, you're also getting other information as you're putting those cards down, correct?
I'm getting impulses and psychic hits as I lay down the cards.
Yeah, right. I know a lot of people throwing down tarot cards, they'll tell me that they put the card down, but then they're also seeing their own images, or they're also getting a feeling and clarifying a little bit deeper into what this specific card's meaning is, and in the context of the question that's being asked. Like, for example, I asked my friend that works at one of the shops I work at, and I said, well, what do you see with this condo? And she threw down, I'm not a tarot card guy. Anyway, she threw down a card, and she said something about it needs repairs, and she says, I think plumbing. Now, you don't have a tarot card with plumbing across it, do you?
The cards have to be stretched, but there is a card for a household problem. In a way, yes, there is.
Well, I think the deck that she was working, well, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not a tarot card expert. So I would recommend a lot of people in the beginning stages, if you were going to look at develop your own intuition, like, for example, I've done these training programs, which I'll be doing in Vegas here in April. I'll put it on my web. We're going to clarify the dates. But going to somebody that is, a psychic, is a medium, and that can actually share with you their own personal experience of how to integrate the feelings, the thoughts, the words, the names, the visuals, the pictures, the gut feeling into developing your own intuition, that's the best one. And then always go for one that seems to be, a reasonable rate. I know that some of these people go in after Carolyn Miss or whatever, and it's like $5,000 for a weekend or something. It's a waste of money. Go with somebody that's just, easy on the wallet. You can also get on meetup.com if anybody hasn't been on there before, and just go like spiritual development or meditation group or psychic development, and you will find that somebody in their home in your local community is actually putting on like a psychic development or a tarot card class. And generally they can be free to, very reasonable to come over and join the group.
Meetup is an incredible resource. And,
it's hidden, isn't
I'll
it?
I'll be on meetup.com. And I even ran a group for a while because, you get specific interests and you meet people with exactly your interests.
So exactly.
You give a lot of resources beyond psychic reading, like the Myers-Briggs test. And I really like that. Meet up, and you're bringing in other tools as well that are practical. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, that's
the balance. Write your website again. If you call in and get a reading, now is your chance. How can people get a hold of you?
If they'd like to have a reading, they can just visit my website, which is www.psychicmike.com. And there's a contact form. It shows you the very reasonable rates that I have and information about mediumship. I have an online video to give you some more information. And, we get a good number of people coming out from different parts of the country. In fact, I'm putting an article out in Q Vegas this month in April. So.
Okay, so if you're in the Las Vegas area, pick up Q Vegas. Now, I'm going to try a different kind of reading with you right now. I'm going to ask you a question about me.
Okay.
So, and the topic is where I'm going to live. I'm going to throw out three or four different cities, and I'm going to see what you get, okay?
Well, here, before you throw out the cities, let me just look into, your opportunity to move.
Okay.
Now, I do feel a draw to the Northwest. Would it be Oregon or something?
Well, I know why you're picking that up. I spent 6 years in Oregon.
There you go.
The energy is probably still with me, but I have left it and I'm not coming back. But I can see why I would still have that attachment in my aura.
Good. See, now, for those that are learning to develop their intuition, okay, see, when a lot of times when we pick up information, it could be even seemingly insignificant information. So I could say something like, oh, you like old style beer, and you think, oh, what a waste of a reading. It's actually correct. That person does like old style beer. But what it is, it's an indicator that you're picking up on the aura of the person. And so then when we said Oregon, we do know that we're actually on track with you as an individual. I go into, other locations, I do feel, I don't know if it's Washington State or D.C., but I'm hearing like Washington. Is that something you would consider?
No.
No. Well, maybe you're going to be, the FBI is going to get you.
I have a lot of strong feelings on Oregon and Washington. I lived right on the border, and I think you're picking up my feelings. I really am done with it. And
okay.
I think you're picking up on that energy.
Okay, all right. Let's take a look. Well, I do feel that I've given some thought, and I feel that you've been giving some thought for about roughly 6 to 7 months to the possibility of relocating. Does that make sense?
It makes exact sense, because I came out to the desert on a 6-month lease to try to regroup. So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, again, so we're going back, as you had asked, I go back to the past. We kind of just see how your decisions and how you're feeling are. I do feel at this particular time, Mike, that you are, open to both staying or going, okay? it's kind of like how things open up in a certain city, and obviously work would be part of, but... I see that as I could stay, I could go. I do feel that you have some concerns about, just financial viability in the different cities, and specifically where you're at, Los Angeles. I feel that money's a little bit tight with you right now, and you're wondering how this is all going to work out.
I have a gut feeling on a certain city. And I don't know if I should tell you or if you think you could pick up on it. But I have a gut feeling I would do really well in a certain city.
Let's see. You want to go to Cincinnati?
I looked into it. I did look into it. But what happened is since that time I've had some family problems, so I definitely am going to stay around California.
Okay. All right. Because that's, you have family back in Cincinnati?
No, I have family in near Los Angeles, so I am going to stay in Southern California. But I did look into that. You are correct. But there's a certain city that I have a gut feeling I would do well in, and I want to see if I should tell you.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and tell me the city. I'm not getting you the name right now. Which city, Mike?
San Diego.
Oh, in San Diego. Okay. Well, I can tell you this, that wherever you're living today, and that when you do, and as you already know, that your own intuitive self, when you're in San Diego, you feel relaxed, because I can see it. You feel very relaxed when you're in San Diego. And I feel that you have at least a couple of friends that are living out there. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do see... you must be, I don't know why, but I'm also seeing you. I mean, I do see you at like the, would you be living close to the water there?
I think I'd be happy inland, you know, 10 miles or at the water. Either one, I think I'd be happy.
Yeah, because I'm just kind of seeing you there. I think at this stage about San Diego, though, I feel that you're still looking at the practicality of it. Like, for example, you had told me that you're confident or you feel very strong that it would work out. But the thing is that the road is not paved there yet for you. It's still kind of theoretical. It's still, I don't have the black and white of it yet or something like that. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. But I'm planning a trip there to try to find out more information. So.
Right. And see, and I do feel that you'll be going there. I feel that, for example, May is a very key month for you there, too.
That is correct. Yeah, that's when my lease ends in May. Yeah.
Right. And I see that's a very key month, and I'm seeing you down there actually cleaning things up. And I do see, like, sweeping. Maybe it's the apartment or something like that. So I do see that that's a... and also the thing is that it's ironic, but is it possible that your rent could be lower? It makes no sense to me, but is it possible your rent or your living could be better there and lower cost?
Well, it is compared to LA, so you might be picking up on that. And what I've thought of is ways to live with people and help them out on a lower rent. I've been thinking of opportunities. Like that.
Okay. That's why I'm seeing, because it makes no sense to me that the rent would be lower logically, but I'm actually seeing it seems to be the rent is lower when you're there. It does seem like an accommodation, and it does seem like almost like would you be like a guest in the house, or would you be like a...
I've got two options. One was I'd be opening up a shop, and I'd probably live in it at first.
Okay.
So that would be one way to save on rent. And the other would be, like, I guess, as someone who may be ill, maybe needs some caregiving or something.
This is the one that I'm seeing. I actually see that you're kind of a guest, and that's why I'm seeing the rent being much lower or something like this. And I feel that this particular... opportunity is, you know, again, this would be a residence, a home. It wouldn't be a apartment or something like this. And I'm not sure that you're connected with it yet, but that's what I'm seeing. I see like an elderly man.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm looking into. So, and then one last question. When I say Ventura, California, what do you feel? What are you picking up on that?
Okay. You said when you what? In Ventura?
Well, Ventura, California. What do you pick up on the Ventura, California?
Okay, for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I see you driving there, you know, is there a cause for celebration there for some reason? This isn't about living there, but there's something there. Is there a cause for celebration?
Boy, not that I can think of.
Okay.
I have an opportunity to live there at a low cost. I don't know if I would fit in, you know, it would do well, but that's why I'm bringing it up. It's an option.
Well, on that one, if I look at that one, for some reason it seems I don't know if it's physically colder. Is it colder there?
Yeah, it is colder than San Diego, yeah.
Okay, because I just see it physically colder. I feel that it's less connected. I feel that also that the actual location is not as not as livable. It almost feels like a like close to, I don't know if I don't know if I want to say industry, but I want to say that the actual residence is not, it's not like I wouldn't want to walk around the streets or something like that, or there's no shops around or something like that. Do you know the specific location?
Yeah, I know what you're referring to. It's a community where half the houses are empty because they're vacation homes.
That's it. Okay, because I don't like I said, I don't feel I don't know. I don't feel like home there. I feel like as you confirmed, it's vacant because I feel this like no shops around. It's kind of, I have to drive to it and then I'd leave it and drive away from it or something like that. On that one, well, you know, you could make it work. I also see, is that a second level or more?
It would be a good possibility. It's still near the beach. It's near Santa Barbara. It's near some great cities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I could drive into L.A. It's an hour to go to big, because, you know, I'm all about these big meetings, these conscious life, and I have to go to those. So I could still go, you know.
Mm-hmm. I see this as a second level. Is there two levels to the building that you're going to stay there or something?
Yeah, there is. That's funny. You picked up on it.
Are you rooftop then? Are you like, because I see you have like access or balcony or rooftop or something.
Yeah, it'd be second story, that would be my space, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, I do see that you could, like I said, the biggest liability about that particular location, it's great because, I mean, if you can save money, it's worth it and just drive in and out. But my biggest thing is I can't walk the streets. There's nothing around it or something like that. It's like I drive in and I drive out. And I feel, honestly, if you stayed there for, let's say, 3 or 6 months, I just see you being very independent over there. I'm not seeing a lot of social contacts at that particular location.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. I appreciate your feedback. And it's interesting, you were talking about you had 80% of the puzzle and I had 20. And it was really easy for me to fill in the pieces.
Good,
you know what I'm saying?
Good.
When you were talking about something like Cincinnati, I knew exactly what that was about. But I had dumped it. I had dumped the idea. So you had picked up on something you thought about.
Good, good, good. Well, see, I look at this. I look at psychic readings. Like, let's say you came in, like, into my home, and you'd never known me before, and you saw my photo album out. You know, you'd look through the photo album, and you'd say, "Oh, wow, who's this? Oh, where are you? You know, oh, I see you on the beach. Where is this?" And so what happens is that even on the mediumship, when we're contacting with the other side, they're in a different energy level. And so they have to reduce their vibration to ours. But in doing that, they lower their energy, and then we have to quiet the mind to raise ours. And a lot of times what they do is they try to communicate through like a photo in our mind or a picture or a symbol. And there's always gaps of information. It's like the old sine wave that would go across, and you'd have these little blips, little dots in the sine wave. So I would say, like, oh, you know, you're like, you would confirm, you're planning to move to San Diego. I won't see you're planning to move to San Diego. What I will see is I'm seeing ocean. I'm seeing kind of a boardwalk because that's what I was seeing. And I was saying, you know, like the 6-7 months and you know, the other stuff, but there's still some need of clarification. The worst thing that I'd ever seen from a psychic, though, is just, you know, complete generalization, and that's not
right.
What I
know. I appreciate you throwing darts at the board, and at least that I had strong reactions. Like immediately when you said Oregon and Washington, you picked up on my psychic vibe, my feelings on that, you disposed of that real quickly.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that. A lot of the readings, you know, it's funny because sometimes I think in all the years I've worked, I probably had like two people that stand out in my mind that, boy, were they hard to read. And I, you know, I've always kind of toyed about why is that. And a lot of people, just like, for example, you meet somebody social in a bar, you know, they don't really want to speak. They're not really interested in participating in a communication. So sometimes you will get, you know, people that are shut down. And as you shut down, as you clam up, as you withdraw from people, so does your aura. And so sometimes
right.
it is occasionally more difficult. But generally speaking, I'd say 95% of the time or more, 98, I don't have any problem with reading stuff.
You were throwing a ball near me, and you easily threw it close enough to me that I could tell you, you know, come closer this way. Because I know exactly what you're talking about. And so did John, and so did Anthony, and so did Wendy tonight. So we had four readings. And we got a really good example of how you work. And we're out of time, Mike. We could go on and on.
Well, listen, no, Michael, it was absolutely fabulous to invite me on the show. And I hope that, you know, we come back to the show and then other listeners of yours may refer their friends and we you know, continue on with intuitive development and stuff like that, because I do the trainings. And I really do enjoy what I'm doing as far as not only helping people with readings, but helping people develop their own intuitive skills and being aware of that.
Well, people, obviously, you know, not everyone wants to go on the air with a personal problem, so I understand that. So now is your chance. Give out one last time the website or your phone number, whatever you want, so people can call you personally. Go ahead and we'll close up.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks again, Mike. You can just reach me at psychicmike.com, and you'll see a contact form. You'll see information about mediumship, about grief, about relationships, about work, career. And if you'd like to contact me, there's a contact form, and I have I do have the test drive special. It's only $25 for 15 minutes.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much, Mike, for coming on the show. Namaste. Have a good evening.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. See you later. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
And that's Odyssey. We'll see you next time. And enjoy your evening. Thank you. Good night.